people that don't get excited or loud in church, and they always talk about a sports game.
Yeah, right.
But I'd also say, well, of course, Ed McMahon's dead, but if someone came up and said you won $10 million, you'd show some type of emotion. If I show up at your house, and you're married especially, I'm sure I could hear some emotion some nights, some yelling or some screaming if you have kids. So don't say you're not an emotional person. We're flesh, amen. We're going to get excited about something. It's best to do it on the Lord, amen. So let's go over to Romans, the book of Romans in the New Testament. Amen. If it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. Amen. So I'm going to do my best not to say crap or stupid or all these other words that everyone tells me not to say. So amen. I'd like to thank Derek for this folder. 10 years ago, he let me borrow it, and I just found it. So I'm using that. So what I wanted to do is talk about the book of Romans some. I kind of wanted to attempt to go verse by verse. So I want to give some of the, some different ideas and different things about the book of Romans. And this is going to be rough, but we're actually going to turn to a couple verses in our Bible. Amen. So I know it's tough sometimes finding them, but hey, look, don't be ashamed. Very beginning of the book, I don't even know where that is. It's in somewhere in the front here. You got an index or table of contents, whatever it is. Amen. Find the book, turn there. Amen. I remember a good friend of mine, him and his wife, they're not together anymore. It's sad. They're both saved, supposedly. But she got out of church because she said she felt uncomfortable that she didn't know the books of the Bible. What a stupid excuse. Yes. You're going to make up an excuse to get out of church. Make up a better one than that. She didn't get out of church because of that. She got out of church because she didn't want to do right. She didn't want to be in church. But I remember sitting there 13 years ago, and Pastor would say, Genesis. I had my Bible upside down, looking in the middle somewhere. I had no idea where anything was. And then I found out that little table of context or index or whatever that thing is, and I could start looking. And by the time I found it, he'd already be four books past that somewhere else. But you know, they got me looking, though.
Yes.
And at home, I started reading it because Pastor told me, read your Bible.
Amen.
So I started reading it, and I started learning where some of the books are. Now, of course, I took tests when I was in school and knew where all the books were. Today, sometimes it still takes me a couple minutes to find it. So don't be embarrassed. If you don't know where it is, take your time and find it. Amen. We're going to start in the book of Romans in the New Testament. Amen. So Romans was written by Paul. I'll give the numbers here real quick. 16 chapters, 433 verses, 9,447 words. So if you're not sure on that 9,447 words, go ahead and count them. I'm not counting them. Went through a bunch of different commentaries and different people, and that showed up 99% of the time. So I'm going with that for now. Amen. So I think this book was written, we're going to say, 58 to 60 AD. So let's go ahead and look first at Paul. Let's flip over Romans 11, 13 here first. I'm going to turn over a couple pages to chapter 11, verse 13. So Paul says, "For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." So we're going to hit what a Gentile is here in just a minute. But Paul had to write this before Acts 27. So if you're studying your Bible and reading different things, it's got to be before Acts 27, probably back around Acts 20, give or take a book or two. Because you'll go through, read about Festus and all that, and where they're sending Paul. It's really neat to kind of look at it all. But let's go ahead and look here. Let's go to, let me mention this real quick, because I grew up Catholic, amen. The Catholic Church teaches that Peter, not Paul, that Peter was the first pope. It's not true. It's not Bible. They made it up a few hundred years ago for money. But the Catholic Church teaches that Peter was in Rome, and he brought the gospel to Rome. So let's go here to Romans 15. Go back to Romans 15. And let's look at verse 20. "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So the book of Romans, he was writing to the Romans. The Roman Empire had a vast region they owned and they covered and they had conquered. So Paul was writing to the Romans. It says that he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Let's go back to the book before Romans, backwards. We're going to go to Acts for a second, chapter 9. I'm going to give you a couple of verses. We're going to tie all this together here. Just kind of like a little intro or background here. Acts 9, 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then 17, and Ananias went this way. So Paul, who was Paul? Paul had a different name before he became a Christian. Paul was Saul. Paul was one of the best guys out there when it came to the law and knowing what he believed and following through with it. Paul hunted down Christians. That's what Paul's job was, to hunt Christians down. He'd intercept letters. He didn't care if they were women or children. He hunted them down to take them to prison to be executed. That's what Saul did. Paul's own name was Saul. So he's on his way. Gets knocked on his butt and gets saved. Amen? So it's, try to keep it simple. Amen? So Saul gets saved, changes his name to Paul. And my junior church class, when I'm teaching the kids, I always use this as one of the examples. When Saul got saved and changed his name to Paul, there was a difference. Everyone saw a difference because he was here, he turned, and now he was here. When he went and stood in front of Christians, they're whispering, this guy was going to kill us a few weeks ago, and now he's preaching to us? He's not killing us. Paul started getting hunted by his own people. So there was a difference when he got saved. He changed. It wasn't just eating a slice of pizza and having a feeling. He made a decision when he got saved, he was going to do right and change. You're not going to give it all up overnight, amen, but there's no reason you can't change. If you don't change, it's because you don't want to change.
Yeah, that's right.
The only thing stronger than the will of God is your will. Because we're going to see in a few moments here, God gives us free will. He wants us to choose. Not to be a slave, but to be a servant voluntarily. So Paul had a backbone. Paul wasn't, you know, a sissy sitting around one day and got saved. Amen. God saved sissies too. But Paul was a real man. Paul went out. He backed up what he said. If he said you're dead, you're dead. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen, just watching there smiling as they stoned him. Doc, when we were in school, made us watch a stoning. They wrap a person up in like a cloth so they can't move. They bury them about to their waist so their arms are in the ground. And kids and adults just start throwing rocks and bricks at a person. And they start hitting them. First couple times, that's no big deal. We were kids. We did stupid stuff. But then when you see the person trying to fight to get out and they can't move and they die, it's not a pretty picture. See, Paul didn't have Facebook or video games or movies to desensitize him to think everything was fun and games and wasn't real. Back in Paul's day, you had real world, real life. You didn't have all the games and all the stupid things that the devil's put in our lives now to interfere with things. So Paul was a tough guy. So I love it. And I know Ryan and Joe and Dave and Eric and the different guys in here that have street preached or even ladies that have witnessed to people. When you meet some tough men and tough women who think they're tough, yeah, it kind of makes you laugh. Because compared to some of the tough people in here that got saved, they're not that tough. You know what I mean? They got a tattoo when they were 12, and they're tough. If they got to tell you they're tough, usually they're not tough, amen? So Paul didn't have to tell anybody he was tough. Paul was tough. And when he was Saul, he was tough. He got saved, amen? He made a change in his life. So let's look at, we're going to go back to the book of Romans. Romans 15. Now, it's pretty cool when we just read in Acts 9 how it says he's going to go to the Gentiles, the Jews, and the kings, right? That was some prophecy there because he stood before kings and got to give his testimony and almost persuaded some, amen? So Romans 15, amen. So let's look at Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be minister, Romans 15, 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now go over here to verse 8, Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So basically what Paul's saying is Jesus Christ came for the Jews, for Israel. They rejected him. We got in.
Amen.
So Paul is taking over the ministry when Jesus Christ leaves. Paul wrote most of our New Testament. We're supposed to follow the doctrines of Paul during the New Testament for what we believe and what the New Testament church believes and what we teach. So here it says Jesus of the circumcision and Paul's to the Gentiles. Amen. So Romans 15, we're going to go to verse 4 and 15. Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Amen.
So if someone's going through a bad time,
yes, come on.
If they're saved, they're going to turn to this.
Yes.
So now my family had a bad time, they'd turn to drink or pills or smokes, chocolate, you know, different things, amen. So what we're supposed to turn to get comfort is the scriptures,
amen.
Teaches us to be patient, amen.
Yes.
So we'll talk about waiting in just a minute. So let me flip back here to see where we're at. So we're just going over the intro here to Romans. So this is funny. I memorized this verse, and I'm not going to quote it without turning to Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians 3. But George, years ago, it was over 10 years ago, it was probably 12 years ago, Brother George had a class, like a visitation Bible class, and there must have been 60 or 70 adults in that thing over at the little house. And he made us memorize all this scripture. And it was a blessing, amen, to just be in there. So Galatians is before Ephesians, amen. So Galatians 3, I told you it takes me a minute sometimes. Amen. Galatians 3, let's look at 24 and 25.
Amen.
Therefore, as the church, Galatians 3, I'm in Ephesians. So guys, I don't even read well, and I still can take my time and try to figure it out, amen. So Galatians 3, I said 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen? So this is a tough thing. I've met people that don't believe there's any differences in the Bible. Of course, we only use the King James. That's the only book we believe is the Bible. The devil's perverted a lot of things and change things, and they always compare it to the King James. Why are you going to get something that's just as good as butter or just like butter? Why not just get butter? Amen? So the first division that's simple for us to understand, Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament was the law. Not a bad thing, but it's a schoolmaster to bring us into Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul was an expert when it came to the law, when he was Saul. Even as Paul, he knew it. He studied himself. Amen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's right after Romans. And we're going to go to chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Greeks, nor to the church of God. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. There's three things out there. You're either Jew, Gentile, or Christian. That's all it is. Now, we in our flesh like to break it down, and like even this church, we have different cliques. This clique does this, and this clique, we don't call it cliques, whatever you want to call it. But really, if you get in your Bible, there's lost Jews, lost Gentiles, and everyone else is saved. If a Jew or Gentile gets saved, they're a Christian. Amen. They're a body of Christ.
Amen.
There's only three distinctions there, characteristics of people out there. Why Jew? That was God's chosen people. Gentile, we don't deserve it, but we get in. And when we get saved, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. It's Christian, okay? So now Paul's coming to the Gentiles, amen? He wants to go to the Jews, but he's here for the Gentiles we just read. So let's back up. Let's go to, actually, next page over, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body,
amen.
Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free,
amen.
And have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Amen.
So let's get over here to Colossians 3. That is a couple books back after Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3, 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew,
yes.
Circumcision, which is the law, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. I have no idea. So,
Scythian.
Bond nor free, but Christ is all in all.
Amen.
So as a Christian, it's not Puerto Rican,
yeah.
Dominican. You know what I mean? It's not American, Russian.
Yeah.
As a Christian, it's supposed to be Christian or not. And in that knot, there's two groups, lost Jew, lost Gentile.
Amen.
You need to know lost Jew, lost Gentile, because you got to deal with them a little different and how you talk to them about things. So, amen. So, here's Paul. So, I like this. Doc said this in class, or Donovan said this in class, but let's go to 1 Timothy 1:16. And this is the tough part for American Christians. And we shouldn't really be American Christians, but if you talk to an American Christian versus a Korean Christian or Chinese Christian or Haitian Christian, we're still flesh, but Americans are so spoiled. Like Brother Joe knows Sergio Robles, he'll always say, fat, lazy Americans. Because in his country, you're fighting for food. You're scavenging around to get whatever piece you can. Here Americans are, we got 3 TVs, 4 cell phones, 15 of this, 10 of this, and then some stupid liberal survey comes out and says, we have a lot of poor people in America. Are you kidding me? The poorest person in America is richer than most of the world.
Right.
Amen. We're so sick and spoiled here. So 1 Timothy 1:16. So here's Paul. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul is a pattern of the Christian suffering. Ooh, that's a bad word in the church. Christian suffering. We don't want to suffer. You know, we watch TV and movies and we see the billboards and listen to the radio and there's always a happy ending. Well, if you look at it, if you're saved, there is a happy ending. You're going to go to heaven when you die. You're not going to hell. That should be enough for us. The bumps in the road we shouldn't worry about. But as Christians, we worry about the potholes. We worry about that stupid center strip they do on some of these roads in Delaware now, that little rumble strip that never used to be there. So now when you're driving, your wife and daughter are like, get back on the road, Daddy. But we complain about stupid things, and I hate that stupid rumble strips. I understand them on the highways, but not on these back roads. But it just gets me going, amen? So as Christians, though, isn't it crazy we can get upset about that? And we can complain about things? Or so-and-so might be stupid. They dress like a whore, and they're an idiot. And we worry about that instead of praying for them, taking them out to eat, encouraging them. So-and-so is an idiot. He's not doing right with his family. He's not doing this. He's not doing this. We want to complain and talk and grumble, but we don't want to do anything about it. Pray. Get on your knees. Talk to people.
Amen.
Amen. Not about that person. Talk to the people you got a problem with and pray with them and talk to them and help them get it fixed.
Amen.
Or you get yourself fixed. Amen. So, Paul, a pattern for Christian suffering. I didn't write down the verses. I want you guys, you know, when you get a chance, go through and read. When I first got saved, I was told to read John first, and then I went into Romans. And from Romans, I just read straight through. I didn't worry about Matthew or Acts, and I got to Hebrew. That was tough because they're transition books. But I read John. I love the book of John. I love the book of Romans. And then you go through all Paul's other books, and it's awesome because he hits you. He tells you how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You don't live this way because Gilbert says to live this way. Because I really like Gilbert. But in a few weeks, I'm going to be mad about him over something. I'm only living this way because Gilbert told me to. I'm not going to live this way anymore.
Right.
You live this way because Paul said it in the Bible and what the Lord revealed to him and what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So we have a foundation, a standard. Well, I believe this and I believe this. I don't care what you believe. What's the book say?
Amen.
We all can sit around and talk about what we think.
Right. Right.
That's the world and that's the devil.
Right.
But we need a final authority.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We need a final authority. We need to come back to something. I'm going to say it right this time. My daughter's not up here. She got embarrassed last time. 2 + 2 = 4. I said it right. So 2 + 2 = 4. Doesn't matter if it's raining. Doesn't matter if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're mad, if you're angry, if you're white, if you're black, if you're yellow, whatever. It doesn't matter. We have to have a final authority, and it's got to be this book.
Amen.
It's got to be something we can physically see and look at.
Amen.
The Lord doesn't part the clouds and talk to us like he did in the Old Testament. What he does is he talks to us through his word. Amen. He convicts us. So here, I'm thinking the same thing. So here, let's start. We're going to go ahead and read for a couple minutes, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
And the cool thing you're going to notice about this chapter is of God shows up a couple times. I thought that was neat.
Amen.
Beloved of God, will of God, power of God, righteousness of God, wrath of God, truth of God, and judgment of God. So we're going to, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read through this here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First, now remember, this is Paul writing to the Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all.
Amen.
That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
Amen.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers.
Amen.
Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, this is verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me,
Amen.
Is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not
Amen.
Ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead,
Amen.
So that they are without excuse.
No excuse. Yes,
because
sir.
That when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful,
yes.
But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts,
yes,
to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature,
yes,
more than the Creator,
amen,
who is blessed forever. Amen.
Amen.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working with which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they might commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If you read that every day for a while, your life's going to change, amen. That'll change your life, amen. So, we got a couple minutes here, so let's look at verse 1. So far, I guess it's taken me 30 minutes. We're into like an hour of what I got. So that's a blessing, amen. We're moving. So Paul, this is Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. All right, let's start off. We talked about Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. So servant. Got to get closer. I didn't on my glasses here. So I wrote down a servant, one that waits, stops, holds, attends.
Amen.
A servant. Eugene, you guys don't know this, but he has a butler at home. No. But if someone has a servant,
yeah,
you know, they've got the towel on their arm, they're just waiting.
Amen.
They're waiting for him to come in.
Yes.
When he gets there, they're waiting on him. They're doing something.
Yeah.
So a servant, it's a choice on how well you're going to serve. All slaves are servants. All servants are not slaves. We have a choice how we're going to serve.
Amen.
I've got a little message on waiting, so I'm going to throw this out here real quick. When I think of waiting, there's different things. There's one thing that we really do well. I'm just waiting. The Lord's going to come back. He's going to tell me to do something. I'm just waiting. I don't know if that's the kind of wait the Lord wanted us to do for him.
Yeah, right.
And there's another wait. We just talked about a servant. Waiting tables. A waiter.
Yeah.
Working. Hey, brother, what do you need? How can I help you? Hey, you know about Jesus Christ. Doing a work is a wait. Doing what you're supposed to do is a wait. And there's a third wait, which is a big wait.
Yeah.
Pulling down. It's just a heavy weight. It's like a burden. So out of those three weights, I'd ask you, don't raise your hand, don't say anything. What are you? Amen. We know what Paul was. Paul was out there serving. He was trying not to be a stumbling block. He was honest and would say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, but I love you. And they knew he loved them. So he wasn't a sissy about it, but he wasn't a jerk about it either. He had love. But Paul just wasn't sitting around waiting, picking his nose, you know, looking at Facebook and checking the stats of this and the games and all that stuff's fine in moderation. But I just imagine if Paul was here today, what would he think of us? Amen. What would some of our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq and Iran that are dealing with ISIS think of us and our complaints and our petty little problems that we can't get victory over? So Paul, you know, he waited. He worked for the Lord. And I spoke to a pastor once. And he said, what are you doing? I'm like, just filling a pew at Faith Baptist Church, just trying to do right, trying to be a blessing to Pastor Ryman. Does your pastor think that? I don't know. I'm hoping he thinks I'm trying to be a blessing, not a curse. He's like, well, I can tell you from experience, you may not get a pat on your back, you may not get a thank you, but if you go out of your way to be a blessing to your pastor and help your pastor, there's going to be a blessing for you somewhere. Because most Christians are a curse to their pastor. They don't mean to be. No one wants to be a curse to anybody. We all want to be loved and liked. We want to do right. But it made me examine myself a little more, and frequently still examining myself. Am I going to go to pastor, hey, what can I do to help? Or, hey, come work on my roof and do something for me. He's helping me, amen. He's always helping. That's our pastor. He's always doing something for others. No one does anything for him. People always start, I'm going to do this ministry. I'm going to do this work. I'm going to do this. And they do it half-heartedly, and they get tired, and they get out and just walk away, and he's stuck with cleaning up the mess. So just something simple. Whatever it is, whatever talent you have, whatever you're good at, whatever you're able to do, maybe it's, I don't want to say just, because this is one of the best things, maybe it's praying. To pray, but be serious about it. Thank you, Lord, for this meal. Be with preacher. Have a good day. Shed some tears. Think about different faces in this church and struggles people are going through and the struggles he has to deal with. We have our own struggles. That's enough for most of us. He's got his and everyone else's. Okay, like Paul, what are you going to do with it? So, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. So, let's, got a couple different things here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. A few books over. 2 Corinthians 5. Double check my notes here. I write like a doctor, amen. I wish I got paid like a doctor. That'd be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. So let's look here. Let's back up to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to back up to 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to see verses 19 and 20.
Amen.
I want to sing this because I hear it so many times with kids. I'm going to try to read it, not to sing it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Amen. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. So Paul was in the service. He was a servant who was working and doing something. And I don't think it was out of a fear of God. I think it was out of a love of God. I can have my daughter do things because she's afraid of me. If I'm, do this, Michaela, or go do this, and she'll do it. I'm praying she gets to the point where she does it out of love. And she does a lot of times, don't get me wrong. But as Christians, we need to do our duty no matter if we want to or not. We need to pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to do right, period. But it'd be great when we reach that point when we're doing it because we love God, not because we're afraid of what might happen if we don't do it. So let's take a look here. All right, I'm not going to jump ahead. So I'm going to squeeze another minute or two out because I still haven't got through verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So called. Let's look at that called here. Let's go to Luke 6:13. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So the Lord calls, Christ called apostles. He called people to do something for him, amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Acts 14:14. It's right before Romans. Acts 14:14. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran into among the people crying out. So here it tells us that Paul was an apostle. We're backing that up.
Yes.
Read that story later about crazy people wanting to worship Paul and sacrifice things. See, you don't see Paul accepting worship.
Right.
You know, if some man's wearing a white dress and has a big ring and wants you to kiss and worship him, the Pope, it ain't right, amen? I know we're raised to worship and idolize this person, but I grew up Catholic. First of all, any man wearing a dress, I don't care what the TV says, it's stupid and it's wrong. Amen. Cross-dresser. I mean, the Pope was the first. The Catholic Church started this transgender stuff. I forgot. I didn't realize that. The Pope started this. But I grew up in a house where if my family, my aunts and uncles were hardcore Catholic, and it was all Catholic, Catholic, Catholic. Mother Church, Mother Church, Mother Church, Mother Church. All right. Little Jimmy's here, been in jail 15 times. He's going up for murder, but he's a good Catholic.
Yeah.
Oh, Ken, you've never been arrested, but you married a stinking, filthy Methodist? It's crazy, the mind, the brainwashing they get, because it's of the devil.
Yes.
Jesus Christ should be first, not the Baptist church, not the Methodist church.
Amen.
It should be Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
So let's jump ahead to Ephesians 4. I was hoping to get through verse 1, amen? Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. You know, we got a chief. We need more Indians, amen? We got a pastor. Not everyone can be a pastor. Amen? Anyone can study to show yourself approved. Anyone can learn the Bible and teach some basic things. The apostles we can go into later, how that's, you know, the signs and all that are falling away. But prophets is a funny thing. I never thought of this, but down at school, somebody said something once. He said, technically, you're a prophet. I'm like, what's this crazy? I don't got no magic ball or funny hat. You tell somebody, I know where you're going to spend eternity. If I can prophesy. If you're saved, because I have a instruction manual, a final authority, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Don't mean to sound cold that way. It's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing. God made it so simple. He didn't want anyone to die and go to hell. God said, what is everyone afraid of? Not Hillary, no. He said fire. Amen? Fire. We don't like fire. We like to watch it. We like to cook our food with it. But if you get in a room surrounded by fire, you're going to get scared. I always pick on Joe, but Joe witnessed to a guy once and about how tough he was, and Joe asked him for his lighter. The guy couldn't keep his hand on the fire more than a second or two, if that. It hurts. We don't like pain. Fire. That's what the Lord did. He chose something smart, thinking if you have a brain, you're not going to burn. You don't want to be fried toast. You're going to accept the bread of life. The Lord thought, I'll make it easy for these people. I love them so much. It was created for the devil and his angels. I'm going to make it so easy that they'll go ahead. Lord, I'm just going to accept. I'm going to admit I'm a sinner. I'm going to believe you died for me, and I'm going to ask you to save me. Amen. So look, we're going to stop here because everyone outside, they got here 50 minutes late. But they want to get in. So we'll finish verse 1 next week, Lord willing. Lord, I just love you. I thank you, Lord. Just ask you to help us to get into your word, Lord, and just compare scripture with scripture, Lord, and start figuring out what some of this means, Lord. Help us to change our lives and live for you, Lord. Help us to tell others, Lord. Help us to be a servant by our choice, Lord, and do it voluntarily. Again, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to be with the service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.